Business Hour with Oliver Cheng on OFM.
You've released a statement regarding the passing of former Reserve Bank Governor and former Minister. We call him Tito, but Mr. Titus Mboweni. Yeah. Can we reflect a little bit on his legacy? The announcement really did come as a shock, didn't it?
Well, yeah, no, I think that it came as a shock because, you know, we saw him, he was always up and about just a few weeks ago and active as usual. So I think that when it came up, most of us weren't even aware that he was unwell. I think, look, he played a very strong role. And I think that he was always a man who came across as very urbane, very sophisticated, with a very, very sharp intellect, who could see through a lot of the contradictions in society, as we'd actually put it. And throughout that particular time, you found him to be someone who was very transparent, very clear-minded, and unafraid of debate. Anyone who's ever tried to have a debate with Tito would remember very well that he was a man who was very willing to stand his ground, with logic, of course, not just with emotions and political sloganeering or rhetoric. So he was absolutely in the center of it all, because he was always in the economics unit of the ANC as ruling party of liberation movement. And throughout that particular period, of course, when he started to engage a lot with business subsequent to that, was when he was Minister for Labour, and people seem not to recall that he was there when some of the most critical, contentious policy instruments around transformation were actually being looked at, including the idea of how you come together at NEDLAC between big business, big government, big labour and big community groups to consult ahead of any policy regulation or legislative instrument that would actually be pursued. And quite a number of those particular things, as you know, the sponsor or the budget from which NEDLAC is funded is actually the Ministry of Labour. And he was instrumental in putting that whole thing together in a sense. You will recall that there were not too many cases where you hear that there was a deadlock at NEDLAC and people couldn't agree. And I think that it was through his powers of influence and persuasion and being kind to people and listening to everybody else that he got so much out of NEDLAC, and he got so many of those things to actually sail through. It wasn't easy. The Labor Relations Act was a big issue, big ticket item for big labor and for business at the same time. How do you do a protected strike? And there were lots and lots of very, very, very difficult conversations that actually needed to take place. The formulation of things like the CETAs and how business needed to contribute to additional skills and training and development. All those things that you come to NEDLAC, the formulation and arrangements around the Employment Equity Act, another very big one that came through NEDLAC. And all these things, they came through his time because he was the sponsor. But much as all the people who come there, they come with their own interests and they want to pursue their own individual organizational interests. I think that Tito always was the person who was willing to listen, was willing to always try to get people to sing from the same hymn sheet. And I think that from that point of view, that would be his biggest legacy long before he even arrived at the Reserve Bank. By the time he comes to the Reserve Bank, he's already established himself as a person with significant credibility. And I think that what he did there, he gave dignity, I think, because there was a lot of fear. Remember, the Reserve Bank had never been run by a politician in a sense of you are coming from a liberation army, all this noise around socialism, nationalization, what is it going to do around monetary policy? People were very worried and they were very scared about what would happen. And I think that Tito came in his usual way very, very, very soon. He had established credibility. Very, very soon, he made it fashionable for people to respect South Africa, and in particular, the Central Bank of South Africa. He actually did an enormous amount of work in branding that SARB and make it to be responsive, not only locally, but also in terms of the international markets. And he tended to be a person who created that level of stature. You know, there are people who come in as leaders, and what they would do, they would develop a particular personal brand, which is aligned to, if you said Tito Mboweni, all that you thought about competence, all you thought about professionalism, all you thought about integrity and credibility. So the organizations, the institutions that he went through, Reserve Bank, and then he was there almost 10 years, I mean, he really elevated the image of South Africa from there, absolutely. So by the time he comes to finance minister, he had built this huge following for himself, and even at a personal level, Tito was one of the few ministers that I would think had global reach and was really internationally respected.
I'm keen to get a sense of your thoughts on, he had a very sort of strange popularity on social media towards the end, once he was done with his tenure as Minister of Finance. Your thoughts on that? And I think a lot of the time people looked at him as a humble character. Would you agree with that or not?
Yeah, Tutu was very humble. I mean, he wasn't just pretending to be humble. He was a very basic person who brought a level of sophistication, but as a person who grew up in rural areas as well, he brought that element of who he is, his own humility, being very humble, was something that he put a lot of stock on. I think that what he was doing on social media, I wasn't watching a lot of that, but I would hear people saying he was cooking fish there.
Absolutely.
And whatever, I think that it was all very beautiful, good humor. And I think that he was always a person who loved people. He loved to spend time with people, liked to share meals. You know, I know people who criticize his cooking was good or bad, but, you know, he didn't care as long as he cooked. And that was very good of him to be able to do that.
Thank you so much for your time. And just
Thank
in
you.
Closing, your message to leaders, I think there's going to be a lot of memorializing, obviously, in the run-up to his funeral. Just very briefly, maybe in three words, what would you say young leaders, young business owners should take from Tito's legacy?
Absolutely, to be uncompromising when it comes to hard work, but bring that element of that element when you've actually worked hard and you can show people that you're competent, but bring within that element the level of respect and humility that he always showed. There aren't too many cases that you'd find of Tito Mboweni where you hear that he disrespected people or he treated people with arrogance. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find too many of that. So he was always a person who was willing to engage, tough-minded but soft-hearted. I think that he represented that level. And as well as his integrity, he wasn't involved in anything that you'd say, oh, you know, they say he stole money here, or he was corrupt with that or the other. So I think that that was very good of him, yes.
The Business Hour with Oli Bocheng on OFM, the sound of your life.